Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Doland. There is a big election coming up in November, and voters are going to determine who will lead our country for the next 4 years, and which political party is going to have more control in Congress and in our state legislature. The people who get elected in November will make really important decisions about healthcare, taxes, education, the environment, all kinds of issues that make a big difference in our lives. But here's the thing. Fewer and fewer people are voting. In 2012, we had the lowest general election turnout in decades across the country and in New Mexico. Here, only 40% of the people who were eligible to vote cast a ballot. And that's for a presidential election. Turnout in other elections is worse. Last fall, only 8% of registered voters participated in Albuquerque's municipal election. Before that, we had a school board election in which the turnout was 3%. Today, we're going to talk about some of the reasons why people might have a hard time casting a vote, why some people might choose not to go to the polls. Tomas Martinez works with folks getting out of prison through La Placita Institute. Welcome to the show, Tomas.
Thank you.
And Suzanne Schmidt is president of the League of Women Voters in Santa Fe County. We are glad to have you here.
Thanks, Gwyneth. It's good to be here.
So I want to ask you, I'll start with you, Suzanne. What do you think is the number one reason that people choose not to vote?
I think the choice part, in differentiation from the obstacles and the barriers, the choice part is that people don't feel a connection to their own life. They don't see how voting is going. In fact, the research indicates that the older you get, the greater connection you see between what happens at the ballot box, what happens in the political realm, and your own life. Younger people just don't see the connection oftentimes.
Well, they're not paying mortgages. They're not paying too much income tax. They don't have kids in school yet. So a lot of those things haven't become relevant.
They aren't on their radar screen yet.
Yeah. Tomas, so, you know, what Suzanne was just saying about not feeling a connection to how voting will make a difference in your own life. In the men and women who you work with, who are coming out of prison, is that something that you see with them, that they're like, voting?
I think the reason a lot of the guys and women that come out of prison, the returning citizens, is because, you know, the red tape that they have to go through to clear themselves to get their voting rights back. It's a lot of obstacles.
And these are people who are trying to overcome a whole lot of other, they're trying to find a place to live and get a job and reconnect with family and friends and all these kind of things. So going through these, getting this paperwork done to vote again is maybe not the first priority.
It's not the first priority.
Okay. Also with us this morning, we have Lori Wiyaki from the Native American Voters Alliance. Good morning and thank you for being here.
Good morning, everyone.
Lori, what do you think in the Native communities where you're out there trying to get people engaged in voting, what is the number one reason among them why they might choose not to vote?
So there's varying reasons. Some of them are more political in terms of looking at our historical relationship with the U.S. government and kind of feeling like, well, you know, it's kind of like a protest not to vote, is some of the stuff that we've heard. But there's also another level of folks that really aren't feeling the value of their vote. So they go out, they vote, and, you know, they hear that our vote matters, our vote counts. And a lot of times they don't see necessarily their income change or, you know, those sorts of things don't manifest themselves in their daily lives, which is another reason that I've heard from a lot of our folks as to why they're not voting.
So, you know, I'm sure that you are trying to help them make those connections. Is there anything that you do that is successful in helping them see the connection?
Yeah, we actually do several different types of workshops with folks. And one of them is really sort of challenging what are our ideas about power and powerlessness. You know, what are some of those things? And people sort of brainstorm, you know, what power looks and feels like, what powerlessness looks and feels like. And then really asking then the third question is, and what were you taught about politics, right? What do you feel about politics? And basically what we've seen is that people have a very mixed bag feelings about politics. And until we can sort of understand that, I think a lot of people just feel like it's too muddled and therefore just sort of throw our hands up in frustration and decide, well, we're not going to vote, you know, is I think the quick judgment.
I love what you just said about making the connection between, you know, talking about powerlessness and power, and that voting is an exercise of power. That you didn't say that, but that's exactly what was going off in my head. Right.
Yeah.
Tomas, do you talk to folks about that? Like, hey, this is your right. You can do something with this. Is taking back that piece of power something that you guys talk about?
Yeah, well, we talk about it, but, you know, they have to be off paper. They can't be on parole. They can't be on probation. It has to be, you know, that they're cleared out. And a lot of them, like, you know, the red tape that's going on, you know, just get frustrated and say, well, you know what, I don't need it. I don't need to vote.
Yeah, you know? because maybe they don't see yet this connection to the power. Well, you know, I want to bring up earlier this week, I talked to Brian Sanderoff. He's the one who does all the surveying and the polling for his company, Research and Polling. And he's been talking to voters for a really long time. He told me, in his opinion, that he sees four major reasons why people don't vote. And lack of efficacy is how he described the thing we just talked about. People not really thinking their vote is going to make a difference. He also said there are people who just kind of don't care. They're like, yeah, I know. I just don't care. I just don't really care. And there are people who are tuned out, people who have just no idea what's going on. They are not paying attention. Either they're really, really caught up in something else in their lives, or they got way bigger problems and they just don't care. And some of these might be young people, too, who are just, they haven't tuned in yet. It's not that they tuned out, but they're not tuned in yet. And the fourth one was cynicism. And Lori, I think you mentioned a little bit of this. They look at these candidates and they're like, they're all crooks. I don't like any of them. I have no faith whatsoever. Nothing's ever going to change. It's never going to work. He thinks that cynicism is the biggest issue right now in this coming election. Suzanne, you know, in talking to the folks that your organization is out there trying to register, is cynicism something that comes up?
Seldom. But I think one of the things to think about is that the League of Women Voters perspective might be a bit different, because every one of our volunteers is excited about registering people to vote, educating people about their right to vote, bringing issues forward in the community. And the people that we interact with at our voter registrar tables are there because, for the most part, they are interested in securing the franchise for themselves. And they associate the League of Women Voters, who fought for, you know, years for the right to vote for women, they associate us with voting rights. I think we probably hear less cynicism. What I hear more, and I think some of our voter registrar volunteers hear more, is just the time difficulty of getting to the polls, getting to register, making sure you have your voter registration card so that you know your registration has gone through. You know, currently the state is Santa Fe County, excuse me, is processing 2,000 to 3,000 voter registrations every 2 weeks because of online voter registration. So I think we probably see less cynicism, although you hear it occasionally. You know, if you reach out and say, are you registered to vote? Someone may say to you, no, I'd like to blow up the whole system.
Yeah, people who are really cynical, maybe they just walk right past your table like, whatever.
Or, no, they want to engage you perhaps for 15 or 20 minutes to tell you everything about the system that does not work.
We have Sarah on the phones this morning, and she says Election Day should be a holiday. Welcome to the show, Sarah. Good morning.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to elaborate on what she said about the time difficulty. You know, people are afraid to ask their boss for time off to go and vote, even though they're required to. But they're afraid if they keep pushing the envelope, they'll be the first one to be laid off. There's a fear. And, yes, I do feel that we need to make a Monday like a Labor Day, kind of a national holiday, so that they could relax Saturday and Friday and be refreshed and just focus on election on a Monday. And, yeah, I just figured that the police, the emergency room, and the fire department should only work half a day and change shifts. Like half of the staff would work in the, you know, the afternoon, because they don't need to be the whole day have to be, you know, ongoing, you know, for them, because, you know, because we need that service. So, but, you know, my whole thing is that the working people are just so exhausted, and they can't, they have to plan ahead early voting. They have to ask for application to vote by mail. And, you know, they're just so tired from working to think about it. And that's the, I think, major reasons that people want to vote. But it's so hard for them to vote.
Sarah, thank you so much for bringing that up. There are two issues there. Yeah, Suzanne.
Well, I don't know how much Sarah's government teacher taught about this when she was in high school, although we all, you know, had to have government in order to graduate from high school. But our general election voting days are the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, based on an agrarian society where people went to church on Sunday and went to the market to sell their goods on Wednesdays and needed a travel day to get to a polling site. Hence, in the 1800s, we set the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. We are no longer an agrarian society. We are an primarily urban society. People work long hours. Sometimes they can't get to the polls on election day. And, you know, unless the particular locale has a Saturday for early voting, then it's very difficult. Then you have to go through the process of making sure you get a mail-in ballot, which, by the way,
we will come back to that. I want to say, in regard to Sarah's suggestion, I think if we made voting day on a Monday and made it a 3-day weekend, everyone would go out of town and no one would ever vote. I mean, that would be really tempting. We have a few comments in email here. We have one from Byron who says he thinks states should allow people who are incarcerated to vote while they are in prison. He wonders why people seem to think standing for the national anthem is more patriotic than voting.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Good question.
We have another comment here from Jantina. She says she's into the idea that voting should be a requirement like paying taxes. Well, not everybody pays their taxes, but even though they're required, are we going to chase people down? Get to the polls or find them? I don't know about that. But she also likes the idea of mail-in ballots, which we do have. You can ask for an absentee ballot. Listeners, we want to hear from you. We are talking about some of the reasons why so many New Mexicans aren't voting. So have you stayed home on election day? Why? Have you felt apathetic or cynical? Have you felt that your vote doesn't matter? We want to talk to you. So call us now at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866 or toll free 877-899-5866. You can also email us, callinshow@kunm.org. Also on the phone, we have Charles in Rio Rancho. Charles says he wants to talk about automatic voter registration. And that was on my list, too. Charles, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So tell me about automatic voter registration.
Well, I'm not an expert on it, but I know in the state of Oregon, they've instituted this, driver's licenses, where everybody gets, when your driver's license is new or renewed, you are automatically registered to vote. You'll have an option to opt out, and apparently very few people are doing that. And then Oregon also has vote by mail, where ballots are mailed to home, and then they simply mail them back, their convenience. And so their voter participation rates for those two reasons are way, way much higher than here in Texas.
Yeah, Charles, thank you so much for bringing that up. That's a really good point. I think California also does automatic voter registration. And if you think about it, when you go to get your driver's license or to renew it, you have to put in all the same information, right? Your address, your age, your date of birth, all that. The only thing that's different, I guess, is that in New Mexico, we require you to pick a party when you register to vote if you want to vote in primary elections. And Suzanne, you told me you don't like that.
Well, it's confusing for people. When I have been registering voters, you can explain to a voter that if you want to vote in the New Mexico primary, you must probably declare a major party affiliation, because the minor parties in New Mexico, although there are several, do not field candidates routinely. So if you do not declare yourself as a Democrat or a Republican, you instead put nothing, which in New Mexico is declined a state.
Or you mistakenly put in independent.
Exactly.
Like
you write in an I. Then you go to vote in the primary and you're not able to vote. And then people are angry. They're frustrated.
Suspicious.
Yes. The league, we do all we can to help people understand that in the primary election, the primary is closed. You vote with your party. And then we have to sort of redo our educational process to help people understand that in the general election, when they go to the polls, every candidate is on the same ballot. And I understand from our adult voter registration volunteers that's been a frequent question.
And, you know, I've been reading studies and polls that show that younger people are especially checked out of the political party system. Many more younger people are saying, I don't feel like a Democrat. I don't feel like a Republican. I don't want to have to do that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the way some voters feel cynical about the election. They don't feel engaged. They feel like their vote won't make a difference. If that's you, call us. We want to talk to you. We also want to hear from you if you have tried to vote and not been able to because of a logistical error or a physical barrier. Call us at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866 or toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also post to our Facebook page, KUNM Radio, or find us on Twitter at KUNM News. We'll be right back.
Vessel Health and Dr. Harvey White support KUNM. Vessel Health offers personalized evaluations, medical services, and lifestyle solutions focused on prevention and long-term cardiovascular health. Treat the system, not the symptom. VesselNM.com. Support comes from the Alliance Française, with small, friendly, conversational French classes forming now. All levels, beginners, French for travelers, and French for children. Details at 872-9288 or AFABQ.com.
Support comes from the New Mexico Philharmonic, presenting Carl Orff's Carmina Burana, Friday, September 16th at Pope Joy Hall. The NM Phil with the New Mexico Symphonic Chorus, conducted by Roger Malone. Tickets at nmphil.org.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Doland. I'm here with Lori Wiaki of the Native American Voters Alliance, Tomas Martinez of La Placida Institute, and Suzanne Schmidt with the League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County. We are talking about why so many New Mexicans don't vote. We have on the phone with us right now Andy Winiger with the Southwest ADA Center. Andy, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Great. Good morning. I'm so glad that you could be with us this morning, because I saw your recent column in the Santa Fe New Mexican, and I was shocked to hear the reason why so many disabled people do not go to the polls on Election Day.
Yes. Well, it's really something that they miss, because it's a community event and chance to interact with people and the excitement of the election, but because they can't find transportation, accessible transportation if they use a wheelchair, or because of the long lines and the rush to vote, where it might, even with an accessible voting system, it might take a person longer, and you know, they've done some studies on that, it might take 5 minutes to figure out how to use the accessibility features, or the accessibility features might not work for somebody that has low vision, even though it makes the text bigger, or you don't know how to access the touch screen feature if they have that. You don't know, you know, if you have your own vehicle, the parking's limited for accessible parking because it wasn't set up, the school or wherever the voting place is, wasn't set up for a bunch of people using wheelchairs to come into the facility. They just set it up for their regular operation. And then many of the features, once you get inside the building, are not that accommodating, even finding where you go to vote, even though there's little signs and stuff posted. So it's a hassle, and so many people with disabilities or people that have illnesses might, a large percentage, 28%, I think, is what the survey was in New Mexico, choose to vote by absentee vote.
Right.
And they might even need help completing the ballot. And then, there's so many other issues for people with disabilities. You know, the talk in the newspaper right now about the New Mexico Constitution not allowing idiots or people with mental illness to vote.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because they fixed it yesterday.
Yes.
Just yesterday, and I was going to bring this up, the state Supreme Court resolved two issues. One of them was changing that outdated language that is absolutely not relevant anymore. And the second one was allowing school board Suzanne's got a big grin on her face because it was the League of Women Voters that brought
That's correct.
To the court. But
okay.
Allowing school board elections on the same day as other elections because, as we mentioned earlier, nobody votes in those things. Andy, I'm so interested in what you're saying because I know that, you know, Election Day can be a real hassle for people who have, you know, absolutely no disability whatsoever. I remember a few years ago, I was teaching here at UNM. I was teaching a bunch of classes, and I had taken the bus to school because everybody knows the parking is terrible. And I didn't know until I got here that there was no polling place on campus that year. And so I kind of dug around, and I found that the closest one was like 2 miles away. And there was no way I was going to have time between classes to walk like 2 miles to this other place and get back. And I just didn't vote. And, you know, stuff like that happens to all of us. And it had not occurred to me that there would be so many more layers of difficulty for the disabled on top of the regular hassle for everyone. I think that's really tough. I want to take a call now from Mike in Villanueva. He wants to talk about rural voting sites. Mike, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Just a quick comment here, and that's the last two elections. And that is scheduled times and scheduled places for voting. They vary so much. You vote at one time at one location, another time at another location. Times have been changed. Nothing is standard. And you ask about the times, and people will say, well, we announced it on the radio. Well, what radio did you announce it on? And it could be a small radio station in Las Vegas, and it doesn't really apply, you know, say, listeners of KUNM. And one time it was so frustrating that running around trying to find a place to vote, and there was a woman who from Pecos went all the way to Villanueva because somebody said she may be able to vote there, and that woman was so frustrated she was crying.
Oh, Mike, I am so sorry to hear that. You know, the Secretary of State's office has a lot of great information about polling places online. I think the League of Women Voters links to that on their website. And we do have a full power station in Las Vegas, New Mexico. So you can get KUNM up there. But this rural polling place thing is an issue for me. I imagine that there are probably lots of places in northwestern New Mexico around the Navajo Nation where people have to drive a long way to vote. Lori, is that an issue for people?
It can be. A lot of times you'll find that a lot of our elders, for instance, or our young people don't have cars or something. They're waiting for somebody to come pick them up to take them to the polls. Those sorts of things. There is long distances. And it really is on. So a lot of time the counties are doing their best to try to figure out how to get these polling sites out to more rural areas. But the caller was exactly right. A lot of times they don't have the proper funding to make sure that those poll sites remain open. kind of even through a whole day. So sometimes it'll be like from, you know, 10 to 2 o'clock on a, you know, Tuesday or whatever. Right. And it's just sort of like, well, who's home? And, you know, there's just a lot of variables that make it difficult for people then to depend on those early, you know, poll sites. Whereas in Navajo, a lot of the poll sites are actually, they coincide with a lot of the tribal elections. So a lot of them are at the chapter house or nearby the chapter house. But if you don't know, you need to vote in one and then you got to go walk over to the second poll site. So you might be voting for your tribal elections and be in that line and take, you know, the time it takes to get into that election. And then you have to kind of, after you do that, go to another line and get into the next line to actually vote in the general elections or, yeah, that sort of thing. And so it is one of those things, you know, if people are pressed for time, most, you know, Navajo folks, I think, are very political in a very real way in of debates and, you know, having those sorts of lively meetings. But, you know, if you're pressed for time, I could see you easily just standing and voting in what you perceive to be the more important election and walking away, you know, because you got to go get grandma to take her to her poll site and she might live in a different chapter house area or whatever.
Andy, I want to come back to you briefly because I know that we only have a couple more minutes with you. But, you know, is there advice that you have for folks with disabilities who want to vote this November or maybe folks who've had a recent injury and are having a little more trouble getting around because they have a broken ankle or whatever? Do you have advice for them on, you know, how to make sure they can exercise their vote?
Well, yes. I would get familiar with the voting machine. That's a big issue. And it's very difficult to get familiar with that when you have a, you know, it's almost like standing in a grocery line and you know, you notice that there's a person with a disability that's, you know, taking more time. So whether it, besides you being irritated with the time taken, the person that's trying to check out or to vote, they're panicking too, and they don't want to hold people up, and so that familiarity with what the voting process is going to be, and I'll tell you, it's very complex for anybody nowadays. The way that things are put on the ballot, the wording, a lot of things. You wonder if they're looking for clarity or if they're looking for confusion, and so. So those types of informational understanding processes will really help. And then, of course, if you're actually prevented from voting, you know, by a poll worker telling you to go to another location or not helping you through the process, get the Secretary of State. You have to do this on the Secretary of State's form. You fill out that form and file the form with identifying the polling location and, if possible, the poll worker, and let people know that, hell, I went to, sorry about that, I went to two or three places to vote, and I was given the runaround.
Yeah, I would put that on Twitter and at Gwyneth Doland, by the way. If that happens to you on Election Day, I want to hear about it. Andy, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning and talking to us about some of these hurdles that disabled folks face in voting. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Great. I'm glad you're doing the show. We'll see you.
You know, Andy brought up something for me that I always plan to do every year, and I think I've done it one time ever, which is go get a sample ballot. You can get a sample ballot for your precinct by going on the Secretary of State's website, and it's always a shock to me. And I cover elections every year, and I always, always walk into the booth with my form, and I'm like, oh, what? Who are these people? Like, there's always stuff or questions on there that I have never seen before, never thought about. And now I'm stuck in there like, do I vote for it when I don't know anything about it? I don't want to leave it blank. But going and getting that sample ballot will help people do what Andy was talking about and familiarize yourself. That gives you time to kind of Google around and look for information about it. Suzanne, I know what you're going
to
say.
I'm just itching to say that one of the primary missions, or actually I should say strategies, of the League of Women Voters is the publication and distribution of the Voter Guide, which in Santa Fe, we are happily partnered with the Santa Fe New Mexican to provide that to the people in Santa Fe. And I just had a ruling from the Secretary of State's office day before yesterday. There was some confusion, I guess, here in Bernalillo County, actually, about whether or not voters could take the voter guide into the polling place with them. And the Secretary of State's office emailed me that it is allowed. Mm-hmm. That voter guide contains every candidate's exact words about the positions they have taken on certain questions submitted by the League. It also contains a host of other information.
I'll tell you what I find so valuable about that guide, and it's the information about the judges. I just did a big story about this because, you know, UNM professor Lana Atkinson has done research onto this, and she told me recently that for people who do not fill out the whole ballot, like me, often, the reason they don't do it is because they don't know anything about the issue, and the number one issue they know nothing about is the judges. But we do have some structures. We have the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission. I know that sounds boring, but what they do is they are an independent group that makes a recommendation based on feedback from people in the courts, from lawyers, from court workers, should we keep this judge or not? And they really only recommend not to retain a judge if there's something pretty bad. So you have no idea which ones you're supposed to retain or not, unless you have personal knowledge, or you look at the recommendations from JPEC, which are in the voter guide, which is really handy. You can also get them online. I want to go to the phones briefly and hear from Ellen in Albuquerque. Ellen, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to make a comment on this from this other caller that called in about the possibility of voting, making Election Day a holiday. You can't do that. The reason why is because the disabled community that lives here, like say in Albuquerque, are those that have that do have transportation. You can't, to get to the polls, you can't do that because if you make it a holiday,
the buses don't run.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Sarah, Ellen, thank you so much for bringing that up. That is a great point. Here in Albuquerque, and I don't know about Santa Fe or other places that have buses, but when it is a holiday, the buses don't run. Although I should say, if we made Election Day a holiday, I'm sure we could persuade the buses to run. We also have Javier on the phone here in Albuquerque. Javier, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Gwyneth. Thanks so much for having me. allow me on. I wanted to touch on something that I think Lori and Tomas have kind of hinted at, but might have gotten glossed over. And it's kind of reframing the conversation, not to talk or focus so much on the individual choice, or not voting is like a moral failing or something that the individuals fail to do, but instead looking at the structural forces that are playing a role in who's able to vote and who's intimidated from voting. And I think of things like voter ID, or like Tomas said about people who are on paper, who are, you know, on probation, who aren't able to vote in our state, or even the things that the Secretary of State, Dinah Duran, did basically say there was voter fraud going on, and that may have had a role in intimidating a lot of people from participating. So we need to also talk about what's going on from the top down that shapes on who's participating in our democracy these days.
Javier, that is a great point. Thank you. Lori, I saw you nodding your head while he was talking. What did that bring up for you?
Well, just that there is, I think over the years, there has been such a gouging, I guess, of the infrastructure, right, in terms of civic participation. You know, now we have Citizens United talking about, you know, corporations are people and therefore their dollars get to vote. You know, I mean, it just is such a huge juncture of our times right now. And I think that, you know, if we don't look up and understand that, yes, so when I was talking earlier about building power, I mean, that's a lot of the people power that we're releasing when we don't vote, when we don't participate, right? And I think that when you look at the role that corporations and government and education, all these different institutions play in terms of how people are prepared or unprepared, you know, I think the whole thing of being cynical is it's studied, right? People know that by doing negative campaigning, advertising, they know that people get tired and frustrated and stay home. So in a very real way, it's important to understand that there is some larger stakes happening within our community that we need to be aware and cognizant of. And I think by voting, it is a real demonstration of I count, my children count, my community counts, and therefore, you know, sometimes my candidate or whatever doesn't necessarily win, but in a very real way, people at least begin to be a little more aware, I guess, of a dissenting voice or of an opposition voice or of a clearer voice, right?
We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you, Tomas, about this same issue and how we can show folks who are coming out of prison, getting their lives back together, that there is a way to access power there, that there is something for them to do. We have been talking with Lori Wiyaki of the Native American Voters Alliance, Tomas Martinez of La Placita Institute, and Suzanne Schmidt with the League of Women Voters in Santa Fe County. When we come back, we're going to talk more about folks who are not engaged in the election, and we're going to talk about how to get the information you need in order to make an informed vote. The number here is 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866 or toll free 877-899-5866. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org or post to our Facebook page, KUNM Radio. Tweet at us at KUNM News. We'll be right back.
It's summertime. The living may not be so easy, but getting rid of your old car, truck, or RV is really easy. Just call KUNM's vehicle donation program at 888-KUNM-CAR. We'll get your car picked up for free and sold. Afterward, we'll send the letter you'll need to claim your generous tax deduction, and we'll send you a welcome letter as a new member of KUNM. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. It's so summertime easy. That's 888-586-6227.
Heard about The Weekly Alibi? Considered working in media? Albuquerque's Alternative News Weekly is searching for a graphic designer and account executives. Applications at jobs@alibi.com. The Alibi is a proud supporter of KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Doland, and I'm here with Lori Wiyaki of the Native American Voters Alliance, Tomas Martinez of La Placita Institute, and Suzanne Schmidt with the League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County. Tomas, you work with men and women who are coming out of prison, who are trying to reintegrate to society, trying to get jobs, find places to live, you know, figure out who they are now. And there's a lot of complicated, you know, just sort of adjustment that has to be done. But is there something that you think could be done or something you're doing that could help them connect with the power that they could exercise from voting? Is there something we can do to make it easier for them, more important to them?
Well, I think, you know, that, you know, all the red tape, you know, that they have to go through discourages them, like I said before, you know, and I, you know, I try to, you know, tell them, you know what, you have a voice, you know what I mean? You know, you've been in prison and you don't have a voice in there, but out here you do. You know?
That's a really good point. You mentioned before we came on the air that you had gotten a message from someone who was telling you about his struggle to get his voting rights back, and he actually did it. What did he have to do?
Well, he had to go to the Second Judicial Courthouse Criminal Division office, get certified of clearance. Took about a month to get that done. Then take that to the Bernalillo County Voting Registration Office for clearance.
So if you have to register to vote 28 days before an election, am I making that? That's right. And it might take you a month or more to get that piece of paper from the court. Most people aren't really paying attention to an election more than 2 months away. I mean, I know I'm talking about it every day, but most people are not that interested until it comes up. So that sounds like a real hassle. So you're saying we might need to do more work to help folks navigate that process and do it earlier so that there's a chance that they can get connected.
Yeah, you know, if it takes so long, they're going to get frustrated and they're going to say, well, I'm not going to vote.
Yeah. We have on the phone with us Bill in Los Lunas. Bill, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask the non-voters to visit the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Santa Fe and ask them why you neglect that right. They have given their ultimate sacrifice to present you with that right, and you disgrace my brothers and sisters who live in that cemetery. God bless you all, and have a good Lord's Day.
Bill, thank you so much for that. Well, that is a sobering reminder that some of us don't take it seriously enough. But I do think we've brought up today some things that aren't about individual people not having. And our caller, Javier, was telling us, you know, this isn't necessarily non-voters' faults. And Andy told us about disabled people having trouble reading the ballot or getting to the polling place. And, you know, we heard from Lori about problems just getting transportation to the polls, or problems understanding that they are voting on tribal issues in one place and on other issues in another place. And I think Tomas just gave us some really concrete examples of how hard it can literally be for someone who really wants to vote to get into the polling place. We have an email comment from Chris. She says part of the reason why people don't vote is the lack of neutral information about candidates. She says Washington State used to mail voter guides to voters. That's a really good point. I will say there's a lot of good neutral information online. We talked about the judges and the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission, and I think there's some misperception about the League of Women Voters Guide. There's no opinion in that thing.
None.
You guys send out a questionnaire to all the candidates. They fill in whatever they want to fill in, and you just print what they filled in.
That's exactly right. The League does not support candidates nor parties. All of the information contained in the League of Women Voters Voter Guides, it is information provided directly by the candidates, with only thing that we edit is for space.
So that is available online on the League of Women Voters
website? It will be
website.
As soon as it goes out for publication. The one in Santa Fe County, I'm not sure about Central New Mexico or Las Cruces or Los Alamos, but in Santa Fe County, as soon as it goes out to the newspaper for final proofing and publication, it will be on the League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County website. We have a very easily navigable website that people can access the voter guide.
I know I often want to look at that paper voter guide, but can't find it, but online really helps.
Right.
We have a couple phone calls here. We have Jill in Santa Fe. Jill, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to mention to people who are wondering whether they should try this with all the possible problems, that early voting makes it so much easier now than it used to be. I know I live in Santa Fe County, but I've heard this from people in other counties as well. And I know my mom is disabled. I get her out to vote early, and it just takes a lot of pressure off, and it makes it possible. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to the people who work at the polls. They are extra helpful. And I think one problem that comes up is that people are afraid to ask because they feel like maybe they're stupid, that they can't figure things out. But in fact, the people who work at the polls, in my experience, have been extra helpful and always willing to step up. So I just wanted to encourage people to give it a try this year. It's really important.
Thank you so much for that, Jill. I am a huge fan of early voting because I know, and before we had poll centers, it really was kind of a cluster on voting day. If you got down there and you're like, nope, can't do this. I can't wait in this line. I got to be somewhere. I got to pick up a kid from school. There's no way. But now early voting makes it so easy and the wait is nothing. I know I voted early last time. I walked in and I was like, right out. I mean, it took me longer to fill out the dang ballot and bubble all those things in than it did to wait in line. And that was awesome. Suzanne?
I've just because the league is into education, let me just alert your listeners that in-person early voting begins on October 11th, goes through November 5th. Election day is November 8th. The hours will depend on your polling place. Santa Fe, for example, is going to have Saturday early voting on November 5th from 10 to 6. And the convenience locations have different hours. Mail ballots will go out on October 11th.
That is cool. We also have on the phone Carol in Albuquerque. Oh, no. Did we just talk to Carol? We have Cindy on the phone. Oh, we have Carol. I'm sorry. My mistake. Carol, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. I just wanted to quickly share my daughter's experience by voting in Oregon with the mail-in ballots. And I've been listening to all the problems that people have. And I understand, you know, it is very hard. We make it difficult for people to get to the polls. But people do know where to get their mail. They do get their mail, and when they have a mail-in ballot, they can sit at their kitchen table with the voter guide, with their friends or family to help them. They may even have mail-in ballots for, I don't know how, if you're blind, I'm not sure how that would work, but, you know, that it would solve so many of the problems.
Thank you for that, Carol. That's a really good point. You know, in Washington State, I think they do all of it by mail-in. But, you know, Andy mentioned something about the social experience of going to the polls. And in Albuquerque, I don't know that I often see people. I know I saw Domenici voting one time. That was pretty cool. But Lori, is that something that's important for folks in Indian Country, the ritual of going to the polls and seeing your neighbors, maybe people you haven't seen in a little bit?
Yeah, we've actually, so we still encourage people to go vote early, and then we sort of make it, well, and that gives you time to hang out on election day if that's what you want to do. And so we do ask people to, like, still show up on election day because it is a very social event in a lot of our areas.
Maybe if we had barbecues in the parking lot.
Well, they do. They'll serve mutton stew, and there's all kinds of little camps of people that have food, you know, hot, good food. You know, they'll be making fry bread and that sort of stuff.
We have something to learn from this. We need to take this tradition.
Tailgate parties.
Yeah, tailgate party. We need to tailgate on election day. I love this idea. Yes. We have Cindy on the phone in Albuquerque. Cindy, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi. People were talking about, you know, making it mandatory to vote. There are some places where there are fines, like in Australia, there's a fine for not voting, and it's, I think it's like $20 the first time and $50 the second time. I'm not really sure. And those are for, I think, regional elections. But then in England, I think there's a fine associated for not actually signing up to vote, to actually register. So, I mean, I think there are ways to make it either, you know, something that is actually going to motivate people to sign up so that when it comes to voting, they're already registered. Or, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it's a great idea to fine people for not voting, but there's such an absence of numbers that it's really concerning.
Cindy, thank you for that point. That is certainly something that would persuade some people to go to the polls when they would otherwise choose not to. I want to spend just a minute talking about some research that another UNM political science professor, Gabriel Sanchez, who's often on our show, he has done some research on problems with registering. So people who want to do this but haven't been able to because the registration system is a little bit difficult. And he really believes that if we made registration easier, we would have higher turnout. And so he pointed out in a paper he recently published, automatic voter registration, which we talked about earlier. Online voter registration we got this year, just this year. Isn't that right, Suzanne? Right. I know I moved and I changed it online and I thought, oh, my God, that was so great. That was so easy because I see on Facebook, you know, I saw last year or I saw in the primary people saying, you know, there's a conspiracy. I went to the poll and I wasn't able to vote. And I asked, well, did you move? And they're like, oh, yeah, I did. I moved. And I'm like, dude, if you move, this is a problem. And, you know, there are places where you can register to vote on the same day as the election. New Mexicans support this idea. They like this idea. But we have not done that. Other places also allow you to fix your address on the day of the election. And that, I think, that could have helped my friend for sure. These are some of the things that Gabe Sanchez recommended. He also recommended improving electronic and mobile access. You know, Rock the Vote and MIT made a mobile app that makes it easier for people to register. And that sounds pretty exciting. Are there other things that you think we should do that would help people get registered or help people get through this process? Lori?
I mean, I think all of those ideas are critically important. I think the whole same-day registration could really help people because you're right, people don't think about it or they're surprised like, oh my God, is it this coming week or whatever. Even though a lot of us that work at this, we're like, we've been saying that, right, kind of thing. So I think that there are a lot of different policies that could help us get people a little bit more interested. But I also think, you know, we need to think of politics and shaping our dialogue, our policies, as an opportunity. You know, so much of our stuff is, you know, geared towards it's your job, it's your duty. And, you know, Americans don't like to be told what their job or what their duty is.
No, they don't.
And so we need to sort of think about this is our opportunity to sort of shift and change how we want our society to be, right? And so those sorts of things.
And Lori, the word I use with people is that voting is a gift. And, you know, in other places across the world, two things people are willing to fight and die for. One is clean, accessible water, and the other is the right to vote. It's a gift, and to look at it as a gift, I think, makes it perhaps a little more emotionally accessible. And there actually is a professor who's doing some research on whether or not community events, you know, like our voting tailgates, would improve voter turnout.
I'm going to take credit for that idea, by the way. I think, Tomas, it was great to have you on here. And I think you've highlighted for us that we have more work to do in engaging people who are coming out of the judicial system, in making it easier for them to register, making sure they have help getting through that system. And I hope some of our listeners will take that to heart. I want to thank you all for being with us today. Well, thank you so much for this great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us today on the KUNM Call-In Show. We have posted links to some of the information we talked about today, so look at that at KUNM.org. If you missed any of today's show or you want to share it with your friends, the audio will be posted on our website where you can also find audio from our previous KUNM Call-In shows. You can email comments to callinshow@KUNM.org. Find us on Facebook. Search for KUNM Radio or follow The Newsroom on Twitter at KUNM News. Remember, you have 53 days to go until the election. Tune in next Thursday morning at 8. We'll take a look at what happens when people in need of medical care can't afford it. We'll talk about the indigent and low-income care that we have here in New Mexico, how it works, who needs it, how we pay for it. That's next week on the KUNM Call-In Show. Thanks to Marino Spencer, who engineered the show today. Anna Landy screened your call. Sarah Trujillo assisted with production. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. And I'm your host, Gwyneth Dolan.